Mr. Fox, welcome to A Closer Look. Good to have you, and congratulations on the new job.
Well, thank you for the opportunity to be with you.
You had to decide, really in a hurry, whether to accept the first two Ebola patients treated in the U.S., Dr. Kemp Brantley and Nancy Breitbol. Why did you decide to go ahead, and how long did it take to make that decision? Obviously, you didn't have a lot of time to make it.
We did not have a lot of time. We were obviously watching the situation of the outbreak in West Africa. We had lots of meetings with our clinicians, particularly our infectious disease physicians and their leadership, the Emory University Hospital. I got involved with it, and we basically pressed the unequivocal go button in the PM of July 29th. My issues with the decision were two. One, can we really make a difference for these patients? There is no cure for Ebola, but providing them much stronger care, medical care, during their disease process really does substantially improve the outcomes. But we're flying them halfway around the world, which is a stress in and of itself. So we worked that through, and we got to a yes, that we can make a positive difference. The second piece, which we even spent more time on in a lot of ways, is can we do it safely? Can we do it safely for the patients, everyone who will be around the patients, all those who would be treating the patients going forward, and our community? And we had a lot of work around that. And I'd say if we did anything, we said we will not spare any expense on extra safety precautions. So we went instantly to the highest standards available.
Was there ever any doubt, though, that those systems would work? You're located in a residential area. There's a population center in Atlanta all around, so that if the disease were to get out, even though it's not airborne, it would be very easy for it to spread quickly.
The irony is it's not that easy to spread quickly. It's only transmitted by bodily fluids, and we believe that the precautions we were taking really made the risk of that relatively low in terms of what I'll call a community risk or even a risk within the facility. Again, Ebola is not a new virus, and the mechanism of transmission is common to others and is pretty well understood in the infectious disease community.
Did anything about the way it happened and the way it turned out surprise you?
There were multiple surprises along the way. I'd say when we said yes, we also had a very blunt internal conversation and said, this may not work out. We may not be able to help these people. We may get a lot of criticism around that. We believed our processes and procedures were very solid, but nothing is risk-free. But we believed we had a moral obligation based on our value system within Emory Healthcare that we had to say yes, as long as we could do it safely and effectively. On the first surprise, if you will, was the extent of the media coverage. We thought it would be a big story, but I didn't expect 41 trucks with satellite dishes parked out in front of our main campus as soon as we announced that we were going to receive Kemp Brantley on what ultimately turned out to be that Saturday morning. The second thing that probably surprised me was some of the negative reaction we got. Lots of concern about how can you let an Ebola patient into this country. And from folks that are well-meaning, but I think don't understand the contagion mechanism by which the virus operates. We had to manage through that, and there was some internal. There was a lot of concern about, Emory's reputational risk and those things. But once we pressed the go button, there was no turning back, and our strategy was get information out. If people have information about how this disease works, what's its mechanism, and what are we doing to protect our community, then hopefully over time people will be comfortable. And the story all turned positive the day after Ken arrived. It really hinged on that date. And all of a sudden, I think people believed that, you know, we can manage this. It's the right thing to do. These are two Americans who, you know, God bless them, went over there for a two-year missionary piece, not to treat Ebola, and to say they can't come back and can't say they can't get health care at an American hospital. We didn't want to be part of that.
As you mentioned, I mean, it took an awful lot of resources, and it took a lot of time to treat just a handful of Ebola patients. So is that a real warning for the future that our system, not just Emory, but our whole system, needs to be much better able to take care of bigger numbers of patients, possibly from something else, you know, a mass casualty event, better prepared emergency rooms? We've been talking about this since 9/11 and even before.
That's always an issue. I think the mass event of, I'll pick on a 9/11 or that kind of a catastrophic event, is usually a discrete event that, albeit terrible, has a beginning and an end. The difficulty with contagious disease that's highly infectious within the body.
Yeah, something besides Ebola, let's say, that's a lot easier to spread.
That is the question for America. We spent a lot of time, you know, talking to Secretary Burrell in Health and Human Services and others about our thoughts about what needs to be done to get America ready, because it is guaranteed that there will be more contagious diseases for which our immune system is not ready. I think the infectious disease community can pretty much guarantee that. You've got the two mega trends of international travel, so pathogens move around much more than they did, and it's almost unstoppable. And the second is you've got this heavy use of antibiotics. These microorganisms are constantly mutating into more virulent forms, where our antibiotics, our toolbox, doesn't work as well. So our thought to everybody and to my colleagues is our obligation is to be ready for that. The numbers could be much bigger and much more local than what we've seen with Ebola. Ebola is the example for what we need to watch out for.
But how do we get ready?
It really requires good policy decisions, if you will, on a national level. And I think some of that has gone on by the designation of centers that Health and Human Services promulgated with the CDC not too long ago. We are one of them. I think there were 42. But it's also thinking it all the way through. I'll give you, when we got into the Ebola treatment effort full bore in August and September, we also, on a parallel track, we said everything we're learning, if it's successful, we have an obligation to share it. So we organized a website that had not only all of our procedures in it, but what's the inventory of the supplies we stock. It had videos in it of how nurses and physicians should take the spacesuit gear that they're in, put it on, and take it off. That went pretty viral after we put that website out there. I got emails from people I know around the country saying thank you. And we did a big training program, for example, most hospitals across Georgia towards the end of this.
Are there enough resources to get ready?
Not currently. I think that's a public health policy issue that really requires engagement at the national level, because it's not a state issue. State boundaries mean nothing to these diseases. It's really a national policy issue. What is the infrastructure America should have, and how should we be stratified so that if you're in a small hospital and you present with symptoms, they know what to do if really that patient needs to be safely transported to a much bigger hospital, and that machinery is worked out. That's not well articulated in American healthcare.